Welcome back to Calvary Life. This is the podcast of Calvary Baptist Church, and anybody out there who is interested in local church life, we're glad to be back with you. I'm Charles Uptain.
Hey, I'm Paul Thompson.
And today we wanted to have a discussion about a ministry that is coming up really big, the big event of the year this coming Sunday. It's Joy Prom. It's become a staple of our church, and so we want to just have a discussion about our Enable ministry. So Paul, I'll let you introduce our guest and begin our discussion today.
Okay, we got our leader of Enable Ministry. So, Emily, I'll let you introduce yourself and kind of what you do with that ministry, and then I'll let you introduce some of the volunteers that work with you on a regular basis.
Okay, I'm Emily Shiver, and I got involved with Enable Ministry many years back, and kind of what opened my family's eyes to that is Paul and Cecilia lived across the street from us, and so we got to see what it was like having a special needs child day in and day out, and so we kind of started a respite care night at our church, which we have the first Thursday of every month, and it's called Breakout. And some of the special needs children that come actually call it church party, and so that's kind of what we have, is just a church party. And Laura Mills and Judy Lindy have been serving in that ministry with us, and we just have a great time.
Y'all was thinking about that, Emily, with us living across the street from you guys, and back then in those days, you know, you and Mark would have those Sunday afternoon get-togethers and play kickball and all that stuff and whatever out in the backyard. And you, I remember you making ice cream and having ice cream cups for all the kids in the neighborhood. I thought, man, if Mark was still around, he'd be going to your house on his own. We'd have to be watching Mark to cross the street going after that ice cream, wondering where the ice cream is. But, yeah, so, you know, the ministry got started just based on a need and realizing that, one, there are more people with needs like Mark's, lots of those people, and that number's only increasing. And unfortunately, churches tend not to do a very good job at ministering to and welcoming to. Well, why don't you guys share a little bit of your perspective as volunteers, kind of what you do and what it means to you, what you see in your interactions with people that participate in the program and their families?
Well, I started the first year we started it, so has it been 10 years? Real close to that,
close,
anyway.
Yeah.
And what I've seen is that the families appreciate so much a night out that they can trust their child to us and know we're going to keep them safe and let them have a good time. Mm-hmm. But the families, I mean, that's really what it was all about, is giving them that little time away.
Yeah, people that aren't involved in this or don't have, you know, don't have any members of their family that have needs like this, they don't know how valuable it can be just to have a stress-free trip to the grocery store, mm-hmm. or one night that you can go out to dinner or something and just not worry about it. Now, Laura, I know you've jumped in. And
mm-hmm. I started about 2 years ago. I'm a speech therapist, so have lots of experience with friends with special needs, and so I was excited to get involved in the ministry. I think it's so great because I've seen with previous clients how important it is for their parents to have respite, as well as their parents to be able to have a date night and just to share and rekindle things together, and then for us to be able to love on their children well, like you said, in a safe environment. I just feel like that's imperative for their kiddos too.
Emily, I know our purpose isn't really just to make a lengthy commercial, but at the same time, if somebody's listening and they wanted to get involved, because we always need more. I mean, would you guys agree that we always need more volunteers, more people?
Sure.
What would somebody need to know and do if they wanted to help out on this once-a-month Thursday night?
Just come join us, and we'll put you where you feel comfortable. We have volunteers, one-on-one care. We have volunteers to help plate food. We have that help with art projects. So kind of wherever you feel comfortable, we can use you.
So if somebody's anxious about it, they don't need to worry. They don't need to be trained, or we'll get you acclimated.
That's mm-hmm. right. Just come. And I promise you, you'll be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some of the things volunteers have done. You know, some of the stuff that you guys do. Like, I know, that, like you mentioned, there's people that are playing games. There's a bounce mm-hmm. house down there. You've done, you know, just tell some of the stuff that happens on a Thursday night when we do this.
Well, we have a Bible story every Thursday night, so we do that. We do crafts, and then there's going to be some type of crazy game. And so it's always fun, just you never know what game we might have, where if it's a egg toss outside and hope the egg doesn't crack at your feet, to a shower cap with shaving cream to see how many M&Ms we can get to stick on that. So kind of the wilder the games for some of them, the more fun. And so we have games that everybody can play, whether you're in a wheelchair or you need a little assistance. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. So speaking to that point, like what sort of what sort of participants do we have? Like, kind of just describe typically who comes. Who are we spending time with, hanging out with?
When we started the ministry, we had 2 special needs children. We have 18. And so we have a lot. We have various age that come, as well as ability. And so we work with each child with whatever ability they can do. Everybody kind of has a one-on-one buddy. Sometimes we switch up that buddy during the middle of the night just to kind of make it through at some points, but we have a great time. So it looks like you come, we do a craft, then we have some free time, we do our dinner and our Bible story, and then our fun game, and then usually a little bit more free time. So it's pretty structured. The kids like structure. They know what to expect, and so it just kind of works for them and our volunteers.
And they'll probably let you know if you do something or you don't do something that you normally do, like they're expecting.
Absolutely. If we do not have chicken and French fries, they do not like me.
That's funny.
It's very obvious when they don't.
I remember when maybe this was last year, the year before, we're all out at Adventureland, and we're doing those go-kart on the go-kart track. So I'm driving somebody. I wish I could remember who that was that I was driving, but they were getting frustrated with me because we were losing. So
sure.
I just remember that being kind of interesting. Like, why are we losing? Why are you letting them pass us? It was kind of funny. You know, I want people that are listening to this as we talk about special needs ministry to understand really 2 things. This is not a means to an end. So, you know, we're not just simply doing this to attract people or because this will be well-received in the community and people come to church, that sort of thing. The primary reasons for those individuals to love and care for them and give them the sort of attention they may not get otherwise. And I know we have some that are aging out of high school, and as long as they're in the school system, there are activities and programs, and there's just such a big gap that happens. Once you age out, it's so hard to find activities and events. So, you know, we're doing it for the sake of them, to love them, and in whatever way they can receive or perceive that God loves them. That's why we love you, and that's why we're loving on you. But at the same time, it's helpful for our people listening to know that this is one of the most unreached people groups in the whole country, families with special needs. And, you know, Emily, you can speak to that a little bit, just the challenge of some of the families that you know that do try to come on Sunday some, and how that's really hard.
Right. That's our whole purpose in doing that. We want people to know that at Calvary Baptist Church, you are welcome and your kids will be loved on, and we do love them. And so on Sunday mornings, we do have a respite care hour for those with special needs. You do need to let the church know if you're going to be here, but there is one-on-one care for the worship hour if you have a special needs child.
And that's something we could use volunteers for too, right?
Absolutely.
Somebody just loves one. All right, so for you guys as volunteers, obviously you have a heart for this, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're accepting and gracious towards whomever comes. So I'll let you give the hard word to the congregation. What can the congregation do? Maybe not correcting, but what can they be aware of, that if we're really going to do a good job with this, we're going to have families that come. So we're going to have outbursts. We're going to have people that, you know, that sort of thing. Well, what would you say, Judy, you've been here for a while at Calvary. What would you say to church members who maybe have been here for a long time too, what might need to change in their thinking and attitudes towards families that come in?
You know, just like we have babies that we welcome and they might make sounds, that could be the case. But we do, like Emily said, we do offer some one-on-one care so that the parents could have that hour of worship without trying to manage their child. And I think that's really an important aspect for them to know. But for the congregation, they can be praying for this ministry and even come observe what we do on a Thursday evening, that if they're at all interested, and then spread the word in our community that we have this available.
And you know, Laura, obviously you're married now, so in a small group setting you're with other couples and things, but when you're in a singles small group setting, how open would you say your group was? Like, if we have someone that's coming in like a buddy, because we always want to try to integrate as much as we can.
Sure.
So, you know, it would be great. Like, if you're a high school student, be accepting of, we want someone to sit with them, but they're going to be with other people, their own A's, their own peers. What would you say, what encouragement would you give to any small group setting, Sunday school class kind of setting, life group kind of setting for embracing this?
Sure. I really think the big thing is, like they're both saying, is come and see. I think I don't want to speak for Alan, my husband, because he's not here, but I think he would absolutely tell you before he joined Enable, I don't think that he was ever exposed maybe to a large variety of people with special needs or really had been around. And I think he was really hesitant, not because he didn't care or because he wasn't wanting to be loving, but it is a different thing if you have never been exposed. And but the after the first time we've been, we've never missed again because he wants to be there. Awesome. He desires it, and it is such a blessing to you. So my encouragement would be, like Miss Judy said, praying for the ministry, but I think just showing up and being accepting of, if they're in the room with us, it may not be super quiet, but that's okay. If they want to sit with us and they may need to get up and walk around, that's okay. But like, that's their desire too, is to be with quote-unquote typical developing people. That's their desire as well. So I think just getting in there, that's the easiest way to...
How long do you think it took Alan to get comfortable, acclimated?
I would say probably like twice, but there is one friend who loves Alan. He calls Alan Jimmy Butler, and they play basketball. I didn't know who that was for a while, but basketball player, I guess.
I don't see the similarities there. I know who Jimmy Butler is.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't watched Alan play. Maybe it's in his game.
I have no idea. But Alan adores him. Every time he's not there, he's so sad not to see him. I don't think it took long at all, but I think it was to a posture of, Lord, okay, help me to understand in a way that I don't necessarily know how. I don't have anybody in my immediate family. Maybe in my school system, there weren't integrated classrooms, things of that nature. And I think when you come with it, or come to it with that heart posture and open arms, I think that makes the difference too.
Emily, let's talk a little bit about kind of the big, it's not the only thing. You know, I really think, and I want to emphasize this, as you guys already have, kind of the bread and butter really is the month-to-month. It's the Enable and the Sunday mornings for those who come and will be part of that. But there's a big event that we started doing. So, Emily, maybe give everybody a little bit of backstory, how I got started and really what that is and how people can get involved in that.
Joy Prom, this will be our 8th year doing Joy Prom, and we were approached just because someone knew that we had a love for special needs and kind of pitched the idea of a Joy Prom. And so we started our first one in 2016 and just invited the community, and it started out small, and it's for anyone ages 13 and above with physical or any type of disability. And so we have people that drive, you know, hours just to come, and it's just a night all about everybody loving on the special needs. It is called the Joy Prom so that we can share joy and just truly be the hands and feet of Christ that night. So if anybody is interested, they are welcome to come join us Sunday just to see what it's about. Just come for our welcome line if that's all you want to do. When the guests arrive, we form a welcome line and we introduce them and we clap for them as they make their entrance into the prom. And everybody kind of comes in their Sunday best so that nobody feels left out or different. And we just have a great night, truly loving on those and their families that attend.
What are some things that they can expect to see at the Joy Prom?
Just some dancing and a good time. So,
and they love to dance. Oh, and they love to dance with students. A lot of our young people show up. And it's wonderful. They dance with them. And it makes them happy. That's something they share, is that love of music.
I've always thought that, really since the beginning, our students have done a stellar job of connecting and interacting. In fact, we were talking about in staff meeting that we could really spend all of our time focusing on the parents and the support staff and the extras that are there, because our students are going to jump right in, you know, those who are there for the prom. And so when we say Joy Prom, you know, Emily, you can speak to that a little bit. And you do a great job of really going all out. I mean, from the decorations, and we have food and music. I mean, it's a prom. It's their prom. So something, and again, that's probably not primary, but just, you know, think about that for a moment. This is something that we might take for granted. You know, Laura, like you mentioned, if you're in a quote unquote typical family situation, that's just kind of a rite of passage, right? You know, your kids have gone to prom, that sort of thing. Well, they're probably not doing that or getting that, but now these can. And since we've been doing it for a while, like I said, this is the 8th one. It's kind of cool now seeing the people that come back, and it's kind of like a reunion a little bit every year. What are some other things volunteers could do for Joy Prom?
one of y'all would pray for the ones attending, pray that they'll feel the love of Christ, and then just come be a part, come share that night with us. And it is neat to see the community rally around this. This is at Calvary, but it's a community-wide event, and so we love that there are students from all around that volunteer, and then just the families that come. So pray, come support us, and I think that you'll be blessed.
Like any other event that any organization puts on, you're always limited to a degree by at least two things: volunteer base and finances. So, all right, Emily, this is kind of a loaded question for you. Obviously, you put all this together and you plan it all out in the parameters of a budget. What would you love to be able to do if you had a much bigger budget? What sort of things could be done if there were more sponsors or more supporters, that sort of thing? So I want to sponsor this. I want to get behind this financially.
We can just make it bigger. We can make it better. I feel like we do a great job, but I love doing a party favor. Every party has to have a party favor. So, and just the decorations and that. But
I know they get T-shirts and things.
They get T-shirts.
And in the past, you've done some activities. We've done things, you know, like horse-drawn carriages and, you know, just different events. And, of course, we've talked about the idea, too. Sometimes, again, limitations. Do we have the people to do it? Do we have the finances carried off? We do the Joy Prom during this season, typically spring. What if we could do something that would be like an outdoor festival in the fall? You know, that sort of thing that provides them an opportunity. You know, obviously things like Peanut Festival, they have a special day and that sort of thing. What if we could do a small scale but fun event, you know, those kind of things? What would you guys say to anybody who's listening that might want to get involved, and how would you encourage them to jump in?
I think Joy Prom would be a great place to start. The spotlight's not going to be on you or anything you're doing. All you have to do is be there and be supportive and encouraging. And I think it would be very hard not to be once you get there. It is the sweetest time getting to welcome them through the welcome line, and just enjoying being with all these sweet friends, and sharing in their excitement. I feel like they've been talking about it since we started meeting in September. They're talking about who their date's going to be and what they're wearing and all that good stuff. So I feel like that's a good start. Again, I think just praying about, you know, where is your heart towards our friends that have disabilities, and figuring out how you can serve them well. Is that through prayer? Is that through finances? Or is that just showing up and being the hands and feet? But I think the best way is just jumping in head first.
Joy Prom really is a night of making them feel special. And they do. They feel so special and so welcomed. And, you know, sometimes we do flowers. And really, I mean, they do feel like it's their special night of the year. So, again, being there, being willing just to be greet them with a smile. And if you come, there's probably a place that you can serve.
Mm-hmm. If you're a Calvary person listening, let me encourage you in this regard, too. You know, obviously our focus is on those who come for the prom and participating. But, you know, for those families, those moms and dads and those guardians and those people that are close to them, those who made the decision for them to be there or at least facilitated them being there and take care of them on a regular basis, we also want to use this as an opportunity really to be the church in these moments, to invite people to come back and look for opportunities to talk about Jesus with them. And because, again, you know, this is maybe anecdotal evidence, but most of the families that we talk to, they're not churched families. Mm-hmm. Now, that may be for spiritual, religious, intellectual reasons for some. Others may just feel like, I don't think we could fit. I don't think we're going to be comfortable. I don't think we'd be mm-hmm. accepted, that sort of thing. But if our folks, this is really, it's a mission field that comes right on our campus. Mm-hmm. And if we could get some folks that would just come and think about, okay, how can I intentionally engage all these adults that are standing around, all these different folks that are here, that I can look to have some gospel conversations, at least some starting point conversations, and build some relationships, get to know some folks. Because I can only share our own experience. It can be a pretty lonely world where you're cut off from a lot of other people just because of the challenges of the disability, or your only community is other families with disabilities. So it becomes kind of a closed world. And so I think we would miss the opportunity. It's great. We want to spend time with the kids that are here. I say kids, you know, young adults that are here. Love on them. Celebrate with them. Have fun with them. But we really would miss a real church opportunity to not engage those families that are here while they're here. So, and maybe, I know you guys have talked about this some already, but if you guys are volunteering, you know, Laura and Judy, can you speak a little bit about, like, how it's, What has it done for you personally? Now, I'm not encouraging people to do this for a selfish motive, but there's some benefit, right? You mentioned that, you know, the benefits to you, to Alan. How have you been blessed for being part of this?
Wow. I think part of the blessing is from these kids themselves, but getting to know these families, because I've been doing this a long time now, I've gotten to know the families, and some of the parents, you know, will take my hand and say, "Will you pray? This is what's going on right now." And there's, you know, they have, of course, social concerns, but they have health concerns. They have a lot of concerns. So to me, it's been such a blessing to be able to connect with these families.
Yeah, you might be their primary point of contact as a Christian. You might be the one, the Christian they know. Yeah.
I haven't gotten to know the families as well, but I have seen that maybe on the periphery, because they do know you and I feel like Miss Donna Arney really well, and share those concerns. I think for me, the blessing has been getting to be with these precious friends and just getting to know them like on a deep and personal level. What do they like? What do they enjoy doing? Getting to follow up on things that they talk about. But I think the real big thing is when we're doing the Bible story, hearing their precious prayers, hearing their childlike faith, their intention to listen and wanting to learn, it really helps take a step back and just really kind of evaluate where you're at. But the other thing I think is sometimes we're met with challenges. We're no stranger to that. And I think it, too, is a great way for us to see, like, how we really can be praying for their families, because we are respite. That's all. And this is 3 hours, and we are happy to serve, but their families are living this day in and day out of some really hard outbursts, agitation, things of that nature. Yeah. So ways that we can love on them well, practical things, just education for yourself. But I just think it's been a blessing. It takes the focus off you and just really, you know, what the Lord's blessed you with and ways you can be praying for others.
Yeah, you all are seeing some seriously hurting families sometimes.
Sure.
Just some tired, worn out, frustrated. Mm-hmm. And just an opportunity to give ministry there, to serve, just by, well, to have a voice, to be able to pray, to be able to love them, to be able to invite them to church, be able to share the gospel with them, because they know that you care about them.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, just that the need for this is not going to diminish. It's only increasing. You know, Laura, I know you see this professionally, and Emily, you see us having worked with this now for just about almost a decade in this. I was sharing some stats. This was from an interview that took place a couple of days ago. But one of the stats that was quoted was, if you're 70 years old, so if somebody listening is 70 years old, for your generation, 1 in 10,000 men that are 70 years old, 1 in 10,000 men have autism, 70-year-olds, 1 in 10,000. Today it's 1 in every 34 kids total and 1 in every 22 boys. Mm-hmm. So you think about that. For a 70-year-old listening, you know, they may be thinking, and again, we minister to a lot of, to a spectrum of things, not just autism, people with Down syndrome, physical disabilities, just a host of things. We're not picking one particular, but just as one example, my son has autism. For people who are older than I am, and I'm 55, they say, you know, growing up, I didn't know anybody was autistic. I didn't either growing up. But you ask that younger generation now, and they know lots, and they see it lots. I mean, think about that, from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 22, and then just so many other issues. So again, just frankly, for the numbers and the mission field and the need is huge. And Emily, I think you would agree, and you've said it already, we could always do more with just more. I mean, more people. The more it grows, the more the demands are. If we do a really great job with Joy Prom this year, and I have no doubt that we will, there are even more potential people that could come to church, could use a buddy, could use what we're offering on Sunday morning, could use Thursday night monthly respite. I mean, it could only grow. I mean, Emily, you could probably do, tell me if I'm wrong, you could probably do Enable every Thursday night and get the same number of kids there.
Definitely. And I think that's kind of what, when we first started, that's what we hoped other churches might pick up.
Yeah,
second.
We could do this one, you pick up another one, yeah.
So that it gave the family every Thursday night. So
that's a great point. So, you know, if you're listening from another church here, this we take no ownership on this. We just want to see this community, this particular aspect of our community, you know, ministered to, well taken care of.
Emily, give us some details for if anybody's coming to serve, if you're already planning to serving, or if you decided to, after you listen to this, you want to come Sunday night and serve. What do our volunteers and any volunteers need to know, time and place and that sort of thing?
Just come. Come Sunday, 4:40 in our fellowship center. If you will come, park across the street so that we can leave our parking lot open to the guests that will be arriving. And we just look forward to you being here.
And, you know, Emily said this a minute ago, based on what she said, if you're a volunteer coming, if you're a Calvary person coming, dress up. You know, it just adds to the feeling of it. And they appreciate it so much. When they come in, they see, you know, I can remember some of our guys in those early days out there in the parking lot helping with cars, and they're in tuxedos and things. Top hats. Hey, I'd love for you to do that. You know, for some of you guys, if you got a tuxedo sitting in there you want to dust off, now's the time. You know, if you don't, well, don't go rent one, but feel free to if you want to. But, you know, put on your Sunday best and come out and be part of it.
Yeah, one other thing I would add also is the detail for our church members is that, you know, Emily, I know that we do this for your benefit, as in for your decorating benefit. We will not be in the fellowship center Sunday morning. So for worship, worship will be in the sanctuary this week. And just, you know, that's part of us also giving back to this ministry in a way, in giving up space so that it can be special and the decorations can be done and all that. So one way we're all helping in that is to, you know, maybe inconvenience ourselves. So, you know, get tight in those pews and we'll make it Sunday morning and worship in the sanctuary at 10. And then get ready for the evening to come. So just know that. Pass the word along if you're a Calvary member to look for us in the sanctuary on Sunday.
And I guess I kind of maybe just want to close with some encouragement to someone listening. You know, this the things we've talked about and the benefits, this isn't just pragmatic. This is spiritual, to recognize that everybody's made in the image of God, mm-hmm. and we are simply loving those that God has loved. And it challenges us. It stretches us necessarily to be the body of Christ. And so there's real benefit here. You know, one more thing, Laura, you were mentioning something about the Bible study and seeing childlike faith and everything. Sure. I would encourage anybody, don't underestimate mm-hmm. that person that you're talking to. They may not be able to communicate back to you like you're communicating to them, or they may seem very distracted or disinterested, or you know, or maybe you perceive of them as not being able to even understand. One, you never know what's going on in the head and the heart and what they understand of God's love for them and what they understand of what you're saying to them. It's worth it. It's worth that investment to communicate God loves you. Here's what God has done. Tell them, understand that God made you, and God made you special, and even communicate the promises of God. I mean, you know, I think of some of those folks that come that have you know significant physical disabilities. Well, we have the hope for that. You know, the secular world doesn't have any hope for that. So, wow, man, that's tough. Well, what a tough life. Oh, I really feel for you. But that must really, really be hard. Well, all those things are true. But we also have the hope of the gospel that I promise you one day there'll be no more sickness, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. And so, you know, we have hope all around. And even for those with profound autism like my son, we have a hope here. We don't do this as those who have no hope. We have hope here, and so we're communicating the hope and the love of Christ through all of this. It is, you know, it's deeply theological, really. It's deeply spiritual, and so it's a great work. It's a great work the church could do, and it's one thing I would love to see. This is sort of my personal challenge to the Calvary folks who are listening. I'd love to see us just do more and more of this. So if God challenges you in any way, I would encourage you to reach out to Emily first if you've got some questions. Like, as she said, and we said it several times, like, your best place to step in, come Sunday night. Come Sunday night. You'll see Emily. She's going to be speaking sometimes. I'll be there. Laura will be there. Judy will be there. Charles will be there. So you'll have an opportunity. If you want to do more, we'll show you how you can do that.
Yep. Well, ladies, thank you all for coming and being a part of this and just helping us raise awareness to a ministry of the church. And remember, if you've got questions out in podcast land that you want to give to us, it's podcast@calvarydothan.com, and we would love to handle those in a future time of our podcast. But remember, we are for God, for Dothan, and for the world.